This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And today we're going to talk about those tricky conversations, those tricky client conversations or customer conversations. How to convey bad news, for example, a price increase, or anything else that your audience might not really want to hear about. And this also works for frequently raised objections, so something that you know is a stumbling block for a lot of your potential buyers. So today I'm going to return to a company that I've talked about before, Saddleback Leather, and I'm going to use them as an example of a piece of, you know, potentially negative communication that I thought was handled really well. Now, I have to say, I don't know these guys. I've never met them. And so I have no idea if their CEO has some kind of secret marketing background that he's not, you know, letting us know about. He's really good at this stuff. And I have no idea if he's just a natural or if he's actually studied persuasion and communication. But he's very good at it. And I'm going to break down a little bit of why I think what he's doing works as well as it does. Okay, so Saddleback Leather, I've talked about them in the past. They have a high mid-priced product range. They make nice things out of nice leather. They're more expensive than like a lower-end department store product, but they're much lower than a luxury brand. So their best-selling product is a briefcase, and it's about $550 to $650. So it's definitely not cheap. You can get a leather briefcase. I looked on Amazon and you can get a leather briefcase on Amazon for $50, maybe, you know, up to $100, $200, $250. But in comparison, a Louis Vuitton briefcase starts at maybe $1,200 and then it goes up to $4,000 or more. So Saddleback is positioned kind of in the middle. It's not the low end. It's not the high end luxury brand. So because they do have so many competitors that are much, much cheaper than they are, the first thing that their marketing, their communication, their content is going to want to do is to help people with the sticker shock. They're not really a luxury brand. They don't play in that space, although they do play in the kind of hipsters looking for something special space. And I think hipster is kind of a dirty word for a lot of people, but I'm not using it in any kind of a negative way. It's really just about professional people, more on the young end of professional people who want something special and they have some discretionary income to spend. And so that's a market that picks up a lot of these more handmade or kind of artisanal products. So Saddleback makes nice things out of really nice leather, and really nice leather is really expensive. The raw goods are expensive and also the labor is expensive. People who can work with the kind of leather that they use are expensive and the price of leather is going up. So you know, naturally enough, every couple of years, they have to communicate a price increase to their customers. And their CEO wrote a post about a price increase in 2012. And it is such a good example of using content to convey news that might not be necessarily super welcome. And the post was actually so strong that he's just having a price increase again now, and he's reusing the old post, which is a bold move. And like so much of what they do, I can't tell if it's strategic or just, you know, just the way it's working out. But I want to unpack that post a little bit. Of course, I'll link you to it. And I want to just pick out a little bit of what makes it such a strong piece of communication. So we're going to start with a formula of sorts. And I'm not a big fan of formulas normally, but there is one that I actually do follow and I do teach. And that is that education plus personality equals exceptional persuasive content. And that combination of education and personality is really important, and it's one of the things Saddleback is very good at. They do a great job of educational content that also has a ton of personality, and it communicates their values front and center. You might have seen a video that they did on how to knock off a bag. It was a social media darling for a while. Everybody was sharing this thing as an example, as they should have, of really great content. And it's the CEO, whose name is Dave Munson, getting cranky and snarky and pretty attitudinal while educating people about the reasons why the Saddleback bags do cost a lot more than bags that look very similar. Because remember, you can get one on Amazon, and if you look at just the photos, they look very much alike. And sometimes it's literally 10% of the cost of the bag you get from Saddleback. So Munson is not shy about this. He dives right into that sticker shock and he analyzes what the cheaper competitors are not doing, but he does it in a kind of funny, sarcastic way. It's a bold move and it's going to chase away the customers that he doesn't want for his business, because the bargain hunters, that person who's willing to buy a knockoff, is just going to go look for the knockoff. They won't stay for 5 seconds to find out why the Saddleback bag costs a little more. Not a little more, a lot more. So that's point one about so-called bad news. Don't try to massage it. Don't try to dance around it. Don't try to sweeten it up. Just get it out there. Get it said. Put it front and center. Lead with the bad news and don't try to sugarcoat it. And we can talk about where there's a little space for some sugar and spice. It's later and it's at a different spot in the communication. And I want to talk for just a second about price, because price is a very interesting phenomenon. And I'm treating a price increase as bad news, but it's not necessarily bad news, because people, buyers, are going to align themselves at different price points, and lower is not better for every buyer. Otherwise, you know, there would be no luxury market if people always sought out the best price or even the best value for money. Some people want to pay more, but they have to have a reason that satisfies that kind of rational part of their brain. The main reason, the true emotional, deeper reason that they want it, is that it costs more, that it conveys some prestige. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel good about themselves to buy the premium product. And virtually nobody thinks about it in this way. I mean, Donald Trump probably does, because he's just crazy enough to be that self-aware. But most of us don't think about it as, I am paying for this because I like to buy the high end. I like to buy the most expensive product. We tell ourselves it's about quality. We tell ourselves it's about some other reason. But I believe that actually that higher price triggers a buying impulse for a segment of the market. So partly that's just, you know, kind of interesting psychology, but partly it can help us get over this idea that a price increase is always something that we should be fearful about approaching with our customers, or that people are going to be mad at us about a price increase. Sometimes they will and sometimes they won't. It's partly a matter of who are your customers. It's partly a matter of what have you communicated to them in the past. And then, of course, it's partly about how you convey the communication in the present. And that's true for any so-called bad news, but pricing's, you know, one that we all have a lot of experience with. So when we're talking about any kind of bad news or unwelcome news, normally these events have a reason. And it's important to go ahead and let people know what that reason is. So that is pretty normal. When there's a price increase in businesses that you do business with, they will normally tell you, our costs went up. Munson does this a little bit differently. He does it in a little more depth, and he actually turns it into an educational story, an interesting set of reasons and stories and facts about why leather is expensive. Because we all know leather's expensive. We all associate leather with a quality good, a luxury good. So he talks about why. He talks about why that is. And he goes into the economics of leather production. He goes into the different supply and demand elements that come into play. He actually does a series of really good videos on how leather is processed, which helps make it easy to understand why some kinds of leather are more expensive than other kinds of leather, because most of us just don't think about it. So this is something that copywriters know. It's called reason why copy, which is kind of a hideous expression for people who make their living expressing themselves with words, but there you have it. And reason why copywriting, you know, discusses the reasons why a certain thing, why a certain features in the product, why the product costs a certain amount, et cetera, et cetera. People like to know the reasons behind why things look the way they do. And if you have read Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, which is excellent, he cites some studies that show that in a face-to-face interaction, this reason can actually be kind of nonsensical. So he gives an example of a study where people were waiting in line for a photocopier and somebody cuts ahead in line saying, "Excuse me, can I go next? I need to make some photocopies." Well, you know, everybody in the line is in line to make photocopies. The reason doesn't make sense. And yet most of the time people will go ahead and let that person go through because they said because. They had a reason, even though if you thought about it for a few seconds, the reason's kind of bogus. So I only bring this up because sometimes people think you can slap any reason on there with the word because and you're going to hypnotize everybody into going along with your message. That is not really the case in the world we're in today, the connected social media world, because somebody, once they have thought about it for a few minutes, is going to say, "That's total BS." And they're going to write a post or a Facebook post or something about why what you just said doesn't make any sense. And people do it all the time with corporate communications. So you have to have a real reason. Talk about the real reasons. Talk about the honest reasons that make sense. And you know that you actually believe. You guys know how I feel about that. Telling the truth is really important and useful as business people. Now, just as an aside to that, an aside to my aside, if you are telling the truth, if you give your reasons and you state them, and then you find that there are people on social media who are second-guessing you, who are coming up with alternative explanations for why you did what you did, or secret hidden motives, just ignore these people. Honestly, you could be, you know, Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi rolled into one person and solve all human suffering. And somebody on Facebook is still going to be questioning your motives and just generally calling you a bad guy. So that happens. It's a reality. It's the internet. Don't get too stressed about it. Make sure you feel solid and good about it. And then don't get too worried if the occasional Yahoo second guesses you. It happens all the time. So Saddleback talks about the cost of leather for them, the cost of, you know, the economics of leather production and why it's getting more expensive. But that's not the only reason that they gave for raising their prices. And this part of the communication is what, in my opinion, is really different about these guys. And it's very reproducible, but it's only reproducible if your organization is brave. So normally with manufacturing, you look for the cheapest possible labor. Labor is just considered to be, you know, a commodity, and you try and get it as cheaply as you can. And so you even have a prestige super premium brand like Apple, who are, you know, sourcing their labor in conditions that have at times been kind of questionable. They have definitely had some stark criticism about how they're treating employees. And it's normal in manufacturing. Normally, you look for the cheapest possible labor you can possibly find that will get the product made. So Saddleback goes the other direction entirely. They do source most of their labor in Mexico. And so, you know, in the United States, we would think, okay, well, that means that they're getting cheap labor, but they're not. And I'm going to quote to you from his post. "We're committed to paying a fair and competitive wage to all the craftsmen and women who build our bags. Crafting my designs isn't always very easy work. The leather is really thick, and it takes a lot of training, experience, muscle, and skill to work it. We hire the best, most skilled folks we can find and pay them accordingly. I refuse to do business at their expense. It just wouldn't be right." And they do also make some of their products in the United States, and they state front and center, that means these will cost more. They don't sugarcoat it in any way. And their CEO, Dave Munson, has a really good personality for this because he's able to really convey with his voice, with his words. He does a lot of video content. He really communicates that his ethics matter more to him than anything else. And if it means he doesn't sell as many bags, that is 100% okay with him. And quality is another cornerstone value that they're communicating always. In fact, to the extent that they actually have a 100-year guarantee, which is a great little piece of marketing, right? Very memorable, very repeatable. When people ask me about my bag or my little coin purse I bought from them, I always mention a 100-year guarantee because it's just a fun thing to talk about. And in fact, the very next paragraph, after he talks about his workers, this is the next paragraph. Also, I believe one of the reasons people buy Saddleback leather is because we've made consistent quality our absolute top priority. It would be real easy for quality to fade if we weren't real careful about it. That's why we're constantly working to maintain and improve a comprehensive quality assurance program so that the quality Saddleback has become known for only gets better. Staying up at this level is expensive, but as far as I'm concerned, is there really any other way? So making that kind of statement is very attractive. He's leading front and center with ethics and values. He's demonstrating that he doesn't need your business, which is kind of one of those very attractive, you know, the most attractive people don't need us, right? They don't really care if we're there or we're not there because they're so self-sufficient. So it's a very attractive statement. But to pull it off, you have to be completely consistent. So you can't come back later with a message about cutting some corners, but, you know, doing it because you're going to pass the savings on to the customer. It's not congruent. So if you're going to lead with this kind of message, you have to be able to make that commitment that you're going to stick to those values. Otherwise, don't make the statement at all. So, of course, these are not the only values that can be communicated in a business. So there are businesses whose primary dominating value is giving customers a great price. You know, Walmart being the poster child for this. And they're incredibly consistent. They always do offer a really, really great price. And that sometimes means that their employees don't have health insurance. And so we had all kinds of, you know, controversy and issues with that. But they're sticking to their core value, which is offering the absolute best value for money for their buyer, their customer. Now, it's a lousy message for me. It doesn't work for me, and I don't shop there. But it's a fantastic message for a lot of other customers. Walmart is, I think, the number one largest company in the U.S. in terms of their sales volume. Lots of people do really well with it. And they're consistent. So when you lead with a dominant value, you're going to chase away some people. If you lead with Walmart values, you're going to chase me away. If you lead with Saddleback values, the Walmart customer is probably not going to be attracted to that. You have to just know it from the beginning and you have to have the stones to back it up. So especially if you are in an organization, if you're speaking for yourself or a very small company or a small company that you're the founder of, you can go ahead and just lead front and center. And that's, in fact, one of the advantages small companies have. If you're in a larger organization and you can't make promises for the future, maybe you have a board of directors, maybe there's somebody calling the shots who's not you, then don't even try to lead with values if you're not positive you can stay consistent with it. Because weaseling out on your own ethics, turning your back on your own principles, has a very strong and distinctive smell, and it does not come off. It's much better to just lead with reality than to lead with some kind of shiny promise that you're not going to be able to keep. And the last thing I want to talk about today is the concept of offering some dessert. And again, this communication does a really nice job of it. I have no idea if it was intentional, not intentional, but it's really well done. So the most memorable part of any experience is usually the end. That's what you take away. That's where your memory is formed. So thinking about dessert, if you have a sweet tooth, I have a sweet tooth, your favorite restaurant probably makes really, really good desserts. And that's what stays in your memory. And it's what prompts you to make the reservation to go there the next time or to leave the great Yelp review or to tell your friends that they need to go there. I do a fair amount of traveling. And one of the things I've learned as a traveler is always make the last day of your vacation something special. Always do something special that you know is going to be fun the last day of your vacation. Some experience you enjoy, like a favorite restaurant. Because it will sweeten all of the memories. And I see it as improving the value of the time and money that I spent on my travels. So the end of this price increase post mentions a couple of good things that they're adding. So they're adding some customer service enhancements, and customer service is one of the things the company is known for. Partly, you know, that springs from how well they treat their employees. When you treat employees well, they treat customers well. But then I mentioned something called Dave's Deals, which is their discount page where they offer products that might have some slight imperfections for a 10 to 25% discount. So people love Dave's Deals. They haunt this page. People will go there multiple times a day, right? They're hoping to get, you know, the bag or the iPad case or whatever it is that they've had their eye on. They're hoping they might be able to get a nice price on it. And it's fun to look at all the pretty pictures. You know, their stuff is beautiful to look at, and it's fun to look at the pictures and read the descriptions and feel like you're getting a screaming deal because your briefcase only cost you $500, right? I'm not really a discount or a sales buyer because I'd rather have like one thing that's exactly what I want than a couple of things that are close. But I go to Dave's Deals all the time. There's just something really enjoyable about it. It's the thrill of the chase. It's the, you know, the product descriptions. It's a fun experience. It's a very fun experience on the site. And I did exactly that. I read the sales, the price increase post, and then I clicked over to Dave's Deals. And it left me with a happy feeling at the end of this communication. So it created a good, positive, emotional experience at the tail end of the overall experience. That's dessert. So if there is something in your business, on your website, in your communication that makes people feel good, now it might be a customer story, it might be really great photography or videos of a beautiful product, it could be a community experience. There hopefully is something in your marketing, your communication, your company presence that makes people feel good. Whenever you can, end your communication with that as the sweetener at the end of the message. So you notice it's not masking the less pleasant message in any way. It's not covering anything up. You very straightforward had a discussion about what the bad news is, why it exists, and how, if, you know, if it's relevant, how that ties into your values. You complete the communication with that sweet finish, and that lends a sweetener to the whole memory so that the memory gets into people's heads in a more positive way and they feel like they're part of something. And in fact, careful handling, thoughtful, respectful handling of negative news can increase your bond with your audience much more than positive news does. Just like, you know, with your partner, after you have a fight and then you make up, you feel closer. And the same thing is true with your customers. When you can weather a couple of storms, that's when you really know you have a relationship with somebody and it's not just a transaction. So I had a lot of kind of points to this or takeaways to this. So I just want to reiterate them so that it's in one place for you. First, lead with the bad news. Don't try to bury it. Don't try to massage it. Lead with it. Speak clearly. Be unambiguous. And don't use any kind of weaselly language to communicate it. Two, tell an interesting story about the reasons why this event is happening and make sure that your personality is in that communication. Bonus points if your customers can retell that story when they use the product. It gives that product more resonance. So for example, I might talk about, you know, how leather is produced or how the leather on my bag is produced when I'm showing it to a friend. That's something I call a dinner party bragging point. It's the stuff you tell your friends when they come over for dinner and see the cool thing you just bought. Number three, if it's applicable, weave your values into that story. Show what's important to you, to your company, to your organization. But related point four, don't even go there. Don't get into values unless you have complete confidence that you can be absolutely consistent with it. Because disappointing your audience by going against your own beliefs is worse than just starting out with a very frank statement. You do not need to be Gandhi to be in business. You don't have to be some kind of pure selfless being. It's fine to want to make a profit. It's, you know, that's not a problem. So don't, if the value isn't really deeply baked into the organization, you don't go there. And then number five, find a way to add something tasty at the end. Find a way to sweeten it at the end and create a sweeter memory overall of the experience. So those are my thoughts on how to communicate bad news or potentially bad news in a way that creates a better relationship with your customer, your client. If you have a great example of this, or if you have maybe an example of this that you're trying to write, you're trying to create some content around, and you're not sure what angle to take, please always feel free to come over and leave a comment, and I would love to chat with you about it. You can get me at confessionsofapinkhairedmarketer.fm. It's just, I always want to hear your comments. I always want to hear what's on your mind, what you've got going on. You can always leave a question for a future Q&A podcast. I like to do those. And the more questions I get, the more of them I can do. And of course, if you would be so moved as to leave a star rating or a review on iTunes, if you happen to be listening on iTunes, that is definitely highly beneficial. So if you do it, I will be so grateful. And I thank you very much. And as you may know, Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by the handy-dandy Rainmaker platform, which is a very cool tool. It's what we use to actually get the word out about the podcast network. The complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Thank you so much. Always good talking with you, and I'll see you next time. Take care.